Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, oh, hey, nah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Human Design On Air. I'm your host, Peter Rowe, from loveyourhumandesign.com, and we have an exciting show for you today. And to help me with that show, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Reverend Rick of revrick.webs.com. That's Rick, R-I-C, Rev Rick, at revrick.webs.com. Reverend Rick.
Good afternoon, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well. Enjoying the sunshine here in New England. How about you?
I am actually getting ready to take a walk outside. Right after our show today, I'm going to enjoy a walk through the neighborhood because we are enjoying bright, sunshiny days over here as well.
Sounds good to me. Well, today we're going to talk about the cross of penetration, or the incarnation cross. This is one specific cross, although there's four variations. And I've wrote a post today, so if you are on the chat board, I posted a link there. If you are not, if you are listening live or you're listening to the replay, if you go to loveyourhumandesign.com and click on the right side on Peter's blog, there's a button there. And then when you get there, click on the incarnation cross of penetration. And to start with, you may say, well, what's an incarnation cross? What is my incarnation cross? And to put it simply, the incarnation cross is made up of four gates of the I Ching, your four lead gates that come from the sun and the earth at two separate times. Again, if you're familiar with human design, you know that those two times are your time of birth and approximately 88 days before you're born, or 88 degrees in astrological terms, and that's often referred to as the planting of the soul crystal. So if you look at that diagram there on the blog post, and you can click on it to make it larger so you can actually see, you can see the wheel of the I Ching. And if you, I'm trying to get there myself. and so if you look at this particular, it's called a mandala, and If you look at that, you'll see that the line that's almost sort of horizontal, going across the middle there. This is the mandala of Jackie Chan, and we're going to be talking about him a bit today, because he is born on the cross of penetration, or under the cross of penetration. But if you look at that horizontal line, that was the position of the earth and the sun on the day that he was born, at the moment he was born, or the moment presumably he was born. I could not find the exact time that he was born online, but it looks pretty much like any time in that day he would have been an incarnation cross of penetration. And so you can see the wheel of the I Ching around the outside here, and I think this gives you a better idea of how it works. So at that moment, at least in according to the wheel of the I Ching, the sun was over on the left, or is represented on the left-hand side of this diagram, shining through the gate 51, there highlighted in red, and the earth was over there on the right-hand side, shining or receiving the energy through the gate 57, highlighted in brown on the wheel. So that's one arm of the cross, and then the other cross, you know, kind of, if you go back in time, about 88 days before he was born, at this point in time, you had the sun up top almost at, well, probably about 11 o'clock, it looks like. And the sun at that point was shining through gate 54. And likewise, the Earth was in gate 53, or shining or receiving the energy through gate 53. So this is why it's called a cross, because you can see it; those two time periods form a visible cross here. And together, those four energies, in this case, form the cross of penetration, these four gate energies of the sun and the earth. And really, as I see the incarnation cross, I see it as a cornerstone of life purpose. For me, I feel that we as spirits come into life with some sort of goal. Now, it may be just a personal goal, that we're here to experience something and take that back for our soul, or maybe as part of the collective, share that with the collective. We may be here to influence or help others. So it may be, you know, it may be individual, it may be greater, you know, to a larger group. It may be to affect the whole planet or affect history. But one way or the other, I feel like our incarnation cross, or the cross that you're born under, is a tool, is a gift for you to help you in that mission, whatever it is. And I guess at this point, I'd like to hear from Reverend Rick and hear his interpretation, because it may be different than mine.
Actually, it's very similar. The incarnation cross, and you know, I'm very glad that you decided to do this as a topic for two reasons. One, because this is a very interesting cross to talk about. For another, it's actually the cross that we're experiencing right now. And basically, it's, as you said, it's a predominant energy. You know, it is quite... boy, how to phrase this. Using myself as an example, I'll do that. How's that? Using myself as an example, my incarnation cross, once I learned what it was, I could look back at my life and realize that at every stage of development in my life, this energy was prevalent in my life. And I am not the cross of penetration. I have a different cross, but the energies of that cross were and still are very active in my life. Understanding what this energy is helps me to better understand why I react the way I do, how I react the way I do in certain situations, you know, how to best utilize that kind of energy. And Peter, as you said, it's all part of what I refer to as our divine purpose. You know, we often talk about the profile being a role for individuals. Probably one of the most important things to understand about the incarnation cross is that this is an energy that is related to our purpose here in this lifetime, but it's an energy that although it's felt individually, it's an energy that really is global in its impact. I mean, there are generations of people that share incarnation crosses. You know, it's not just a handful of people on one side of the globe. It's anyone who was born within the time period that this cross is in effect around the planet share this kind of energetic purpose, if you will. And I think it's important for people to understand that, because we're not islands. We're not here, you know, with this purpose. You know, it's not, I'm the only one on the face of the planet that's here to do this. that make sense?
Very much so. And, you know, just in terms of understanding how the crosses work, with this particular cross, there's four variations. And so, as Ricardo said, right now, the energy we're under and the people that are being born in the last few days, many of them are being born under this cross. And basically how not all the crosses work the same, but there are several predominant crosses that have four variations, and essentially they come in once a quarter. And so people being born now are under this cross. So for the week of, you know, around the time period of April 5th to April 7th, April 4th to April 8th, there will be people that are born in July, and then again 3 months later, and then again 3 months later. And they'll all be born under this cross. Now they'll have a different lead energy. That very, the one that's in red on this one, the 51, is the lead energy. It's the lead energy of the sun. And so that will flavor the cross and how it's expressed in a slightly different way. But all the people that are born under this cross are going to share this cross as a commonality, share this cornerstone, if you will, in common. And just one other aside, Reverend Rick, as you said, you were glad I chose this cross because it's in. And, you know, ironically, Reverend Rick and I basically have spirit guides and angels and divine guidance that drive us to do things. And I knew I was going to do the Incarnation Cross this week, and I was guided to do the Cross of Planning. But I was preparing the email on Tuesday morning, and it was rather last minute, and so I'm starting to look at doing the Cross of Planning and do a little write-up on it. And was thinking about the irony of the Cross of Planning and not being very planned for it. And it was at that moment that I realized that Tuesday happened to be my son's birthday. He's born on the Cross of Penetration. The Cross of Penetration is like, let's get to the point here. And so I suddenly had the epiphany. That was sort of just a mislead to get me to realize, you know, they gave me something really ironic to make me realize what's standing right in front of me was what we should talk about, and that's the Cross of Penetration. And, you know, and like the energy of the Cross of Penetration, which happened to be in when I was about to send out the email, was knowing in that instant, boom, I need to do the Cross of Penetration. There was some fiddling around before that while I was struggling with, well, you know, what exactly am I going to say about the Cross of Planning. But then once it happened, once it occurred, there was this sort of instant knowing, and boom, that's what I'm doing. And within 5 minutes, I was able to compose the email and send it out.
Don't you just love it when things just fall into place?
So, that being said, where do you think we should start?
Well, I also want to mention one more thing, Peter, and that is that my Jackie Chan just happens to be my all-time favorite martial arts movie person, whatever. So that's another double treat for me. I didn't realize he was the Cross of Penetration, but I thoroughly enjoy looking at his chart.
Well, I have to say, I did when this morning when I wrote the article, I thought about using my son, but most of you out there probably don't know my son, so that's not necessarily a good thing to talk about, you know, so that you would have experience with. And so I did a little searching, and when I came across his name, I came across a few other names, but when I saw his name, yeah, I said, you know what, he just so embodies in the work that he's done in movies, and really, I would guess, I don't know him well, and I've only seen a couple of his movies, but you know, from what I've seen of him, it seems like his life really embodies this energy.
It certainly does get portrayed in the characters that he plays in his movies. That's very true. Yes. So, Peter, you were asking where do we start, huh? Why don't we start with the lead gate? Let's kind of talk a little bit about the energies of each of the gates, and then kind of bring them all together into a big picture. What do you think?
That sounds good to me. And so his lead gate is the gate 51. Do you want to give us a rundown of shock? Shock and awe?
Sure. Shock and awe. Shock is, you know, this is actually a very interesting gate. It's in the heart center. The heart center is also known as the ego center. But this is the only gate within the ego center that carries a very, very spiritual component to it. You know, there are only four gates in the heart center, and the other three are very much tied to, you know, the mundane, the material world. You know, the tribal resources, all that kind of stuff. It's a very tribal energy, a very tribal energy center. But this gate carries with it that shock of bringing your focus to some rather non-mundane principles, energies, ideas, concepts, whatever. It actually carries a bit of a spiritual energy to it. And it's called the Gate of Shock because this is actually the gate that ties the heart center to the identity center and to the energies of love. And when you look at a chart, you see that this gate is the electromagnetic gate or the companion gate to gate 25, which is the gate of universal love. So in essence, you can think of this as this is the shock that people refer to as the death of the ego and the rise of the spirit. You know, and I for one don't subscribe to that whole philosophical nature of you have to destroy the ego, you have to kill the ego. I think our egos are very healthy things, or at least can be. They are a part of us, and they are a part of our entire, you know, our whole being. So we have to nurture that part of ourselves, but at the same time, not allow any one aspect of ourselves to have control over any other aspect. They are all designed to work in conjunction with each other. And in that sense, it's, well, I think I'm just going to leave it there. but one of the aspects of this gate of shock is that there are times where people with this gate will just suddenly say something or do something that surprises either themselves or others. That's another expression of this energy of shock. It may be that they, regardless of their spiritual beliefs, they may just feel that prompting to say or do something. They don't know where it's coming from. It's just all of a sudden bursting forth from them, and they have to follow through with it. And in that sense, there can be a bit of a shock or surprise element for both the individual and the people around him or her. I guess the last thing I'll say about the Gate of Shock is this energy is a very, very, very strong individual type of energy. Whereas the other gates of the ego center are primarily tribal energies, this is a very individual type of energy. It's part of what's known as the centering circuit, and so it's tied to that central core of our beings. And because of that, there's a lot of things that come through this gate. There's a lot of expression that comes through this gate that's not necessarily something anyone can explain. You know, the person with this energy or expressing this energy may not be able to say how or why that energy, you know, that expression came through. It's just something in the moment that's happening, something in the moment that just needs to get expressed. And I feel like I'm forgetting something, Peter. Can you help me fill in the gap there?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things you just said there, that this is very strong energy. But I think as we talk about the other three gates, you're going to find in their own way, they all are very strong. And they all are very strong in different aspects. Two of these gates come out of the adrenal center, and so they're adrenalized energy. And the gate we're going to talk about next is very, it's intuition in the moment, so it's very strong in the moment. So this is a power pack cross, hence why it's very penetrating.
Yeah. And Peter, there was one other thing I wanted to mention, and I forgot to do that before we actually started talking about the individual gates. And that is that, as you said at the very beginning, you know, these are, and as you mentioned now, these are all very strong energies. But just to kind of recap for people, you know, we've talked about how the gates get activated by, you know, the planetary positions and all that kind of stuff. Well, the sun and the earth, of course, are the two celestial bodies that are nearest and dearest to all of us, right? So these are...
I think for most people.
Yeah. So for myself, I include the moon in there too, but the primary two, the sun and the earth. And I just wanted to mention that the sun, actually, the two gates activated by the sun form 70% of the energetic expressions that take place in ourselves. Well, I shouldn't say 70% of the energetic expressions. At least 70% of our recognizable energy. And I mean, when we walk into the energetic presence of another, the first thing they pick up from us is the energy that's activated in our sun. That is what we radiate out towards others. Just as the sun radiates light and warmth out to the earth, we radiate out the energetic expressions of the gates that are activated in our suns, the one at the time of birth and the one at the 88 days prior to birth. So I just wanted to mention that as well and let people know this is a, like you said, it's a very strong energy. All the gates here are very strong energetic components of our charts and very strong energetic expressions in our lives.
And I think if you take that further, what Ricardo was saying, Reverend Rick, that when we become in the presence of Jackie Chan or somebody else of the cross of penetration, especially this variety that has this lead gate of shock, in a sense, energetically, we are aware, we're ready on some level, we're ready to be shocked because that energy is already present when they walk in the room.
Suddenly I have a picture of people holding onto the handrails along the walls.
Or maybe that's why they, Jackie Chan walks onto the subway, you know, the other guys start to get out their nunchucks and swords and whatever.
Brace
but
for
anyway.
Impact.
So the other aspect of Jackie Chan's conscious energy or this variation that we're looking at there that's present right now, the earth aspect is the gate 57. And this gate is off of the spleen. The spleen is about time and has the potential to be in the moment. And this gate is all around intuition or knowing in the moment. And, you know, as I was writing this blog post about the cross and Jackie, you know, that really piqued my mind that he's, you know, as, you know, in any of the scenes that he plays in, he is constantly aware who's in the room, where different objects that he might be able to use to defend himself. There's just this very extreme awareness in that moment of what's going on and of what the next step is that he should take. There's this energy in the moment. And so with people on this cross, I think there's also an energy in the moment that goes along the lines of, if I don't take this action now, the moment will be lost, and it won't come back, because this Gate 57 energy is very much about the moment. And so, if you don't act and capture that moment, it's gone. Reverend Rick, what would you like to add to the 57?
Actually, I just want to mention that although the primary focus, I guess, of Gate 57 is on the intuitive awareness, Jackie, you know, the spleen is all about that physical awareness, physical surroundings, all of your senses acting, you know, acting as one kind of thing to give you a really solid picture of your environment. And Jackie Chan, when you look at his chart, actually has quite a bit of activation happening in his spleen. He's got 4 out of the 7 energy gates active on his spleen. So he's got a lot of energy flowing through there, 2 channels down to the root. You know, so he's really, you know, his awareness is pumping. We'll put it that way. His ability to really be clear about his environment and, you know, what his senses are telling him about the potential safety or potential hazards of his environment is a very, very solid energy for him. Sorry, that was just something that caught my eye.
No, and just for people that may have joined us late, we're looking at the charts on loveyourhumandesign.com. Over on the right-hand side, click on the button Peter's Blog, and then choose the article and click on the snowflake there, Incarnation Cross of Penetration. And there's the mandala there, and if you scroll down, his full chart, and either one you can click on to get a larger image. But yeah, he does have a lot of energy there powering the spleen, a lot of adrenalized energy.
Yeah.
And so, Reverend Rick, you want to take us through Gate 54?
Gate 54. You know, actually, Gate 54 for me is a very interesting one. You know, we've always mentioned that the gates in human design come from the I Ching, you know, the hexagrams of the I Ching, and Gate 54 is known as the marrying maiden. But in human design, that gets translated into the gate of ambition. And this is, and essentially they're the same. It's an energy that drives one to better him or herself. It drives them to reach something better than what they currently experience. You know, they want to improve their lives. They want to improve their status. They want to improve their position in the company. So this is a driving type of energy coming off the root center, and the root center, as we know, carries that adrenalized energy for going out and living life, enjoying life, and you know, experiencing all that life has to offer. So this Gate 54 is really about the drive and the ambition to succeed and to move forward, to move beyond where one is. And that, you know, I think I'm going to stop there, because I think that, I mean, we could go into so many details on a lot of these different gates, but I think that's probably enough for now. Anything you want to add to that, Peter?
Well, I'd just like to add a story.
Okay.
Can I add a story?
Sure, absolutely.
So, you know, as we look at these gates, what I like to do is to pull them back and start to look at the bigger picture. And so here we have this ambition. But again, when you start to fold in the other energies of being in the moment, of having shock, the shock energy to me is fleeting. Because think about alarms. If, you know, in that car alarm that goes off and it goes on for hours because nobody pays attention to it. And so if the shock is present all the time, it gets ignored. So it's not effective. So as we've gone through, you've got shock, you've got being in the moment, and now you've got ambition. Most manifestations of this for these people are not going to be really drawn out. So you have this ambition to move up. But I would think in most cases, and again, it's going to depend on the rest of the chart, but these people are probably not going to be, in general, the types that go to college for 12 years, that go and get their undergraduate, and then their doctor, master's, and then their PhD. Because the energy, trying to string together the ambition and just the energy here, that's a really long time. And the story that I wanted to tell is my son is this cross, the cross of penetration, and he's a senior in high school, and just found out about the colleges that he tried to get into. And he had had a rough freshman year, and so his grades were very low that freshman year. And he pulled himself together and turned himself around, and for the last 2.5 years, his sophomore, junior, and senior year so far, his grades have all been A's and B's. And, in fact, this year in particular, more A's than B's. Well, he didn't get into a few of the schools that he was hoping to, and his college counselor got the feedback that even though he had turned things around and that showed a really good positive trend, they were still a little bit worried about his freshman grades. And his response to this was, well, the last 2.5 years have been a waste of time, pulling his grades up. Now, he did get into a University of Vermont, and he is now excited. It wasn't his first choice. It was a kind of a backup plan for him, but he is excited about that. But I think the story just illustrates the energy here, that for him, pulling it all together and making that effort for 2.5 years, that was a really long time for him. For other people, other designs, that may not be the case. In fact, with this design, with other factors in the charts, that might not be the case. But I think in general, again, you know, because that's how we can compare things, there's going to be a real time element to this.
Yep. And Peter, there's you brought out something else that I want to touch on as well, and this is related to a question on the chat board about how does gate 54 differ as a hanging gate versus a gate on a defined energy center. And what I wanted to do, I'll let you talk about that one if you like. And the one I wanted to point out was gate 51. We're looking at Jackie Chan's chart here. And if we look at his entire chart on your website blog post, it shows that he has an undefined will center, an undefined heart center. So his gate 51 is actually a hanging gate, even though it's the lead gate. It's the personality, you know, the gate in the activated by the sun at the time of his birth. It is the lead gate. But it's on an undefined energy center. And one of the things that you mentioned was that the shock is not going to be a sustainable shock. It's not going to be a consistent shock. And that just rings so true with this configuration, because of course he's going to have very inconsistent heart center energy. And as the energy flows into that gate, I mean into that energy center and gets expressed through that gate, it will have a different impact or a different expression in the different situations that he finds himself in. And I don't know about Theron. I don't know if he's got a defined will or a defined route. But you wanna go ahead and talk about Gate 54 and the differences in that one?
He does have a defined route. And you know what? I can't remember if I can bring it up here. Let me just add a comment about Jackie Chan in the Gate 51. I think with his one of the areas that I see his shock in is his sense of humor in the comedy that he brings. And if you think about that in terms of shock, in a way that's a lighter, a less deeply impacting kind of shock, as opposed to, I think you could have other shock that really shakes you up and makes you like, you know, a lot of his shock, I think, with the comedy is slapstick. And it kind of gets you to giggle and make you think about things. But I could see somebody with a defined will center and that shock being more like a sledgehammer. And it, you know, it really sort of shakes you to the core. And moves you in that way,
mm-hmm.
And so I guess I'm putting out there. I just wonder if that's more what you would see when the will is defined, as opposed to this case where the will is undefined.
Yep. And of course we probably should mention also that the will, just as the root, is a motor. But it's a very special kind of motor. It's a motor that basically provides that energetic push to do whatever needs to get done, and then it shuts off. When it's defined, it's a motor that works to rest. It gives you the extra power that you need, and then when it realizes that it no longer needs to do that, it shuts itself off. And so, like you said, willpower energy is not something that needs to be there 24/7. And this energy of shock being in that energy center of the will, or the ego, doesn't need to be active all the time. So, you know, there's a few differences there. As far as Gate 54, and really any gate that's active on an energy center, if the energy center is undefined, essentially the energy flowing through that gate will be inconsistent. It will get expressed in whatever way it needs to get expressed, always related to that type of energy for that gate and for that energy center, but it will get defined or it will get expressed according to the influences that are providing the energy flowing through that center, and we call that in human design conditioning. The conditioning elements are either the transit energies of the day or the people that you're around, you know, your environment. Whenever you have an undefined energy center, you're susceptible to the energies of your environment flowing through that center and conditioning the kinds of expressions that come through your defined gates on that center. And that being said,
and
Peter, we have one more gate to cover. Oh, I'm sorry, you were going to add something to that?
Well, I was just going to, I guess I'm going to give you a spectrum here, because you'd asked me about my son and whether his gate was hanging or not. He has a defined route, but he does not have this full channel off of the 54. And so to give you a spectrum, let's take somebody with an open route in this gate 54. They're going to have this ambition, and as Reverend Rick was saying, the ambition's always going to be present, but the ability to execute that ambition is not always going to be present. It's going to be inconsistent. Now, my son has a defined route, and he has the gate 54, but he doesn't have the full channel. So he's going to have consistent energy backing up that ambition, but he's not going to always be able to follow through with it because he doesn't have the next gate. And then if you take a look at Jackie Chan has a defined route, and he has this defined channel a couple of times because it's black and red striped here. So he has it not only as lead energy, but he also has it in his other parts of his chart or other parts of the other planets. So he is going to have ambition, and he is going to be able to move up. And so here, where I was talking before about how long-lasting is that ambition, that drive to move up, well, for Jackie Chan, with this design, it's going to last longer than probably my son or that fictitious person that has the open route and just the gate 54 there.
Yep.
And so all of Jackie Chan's training, you know, the martial arts training that he did, that is probably a demonstration of having this channel and being able to go through the different belts or the different levels to become highly proficient at what he does.
So let's go ahead and get into the fourth gate here, Peter. And then I'm going to ask you to you're doing a lot of talking today. Go ahead and cover the fourth gate, and then I'm going to ask you to do another story for us, only this time it'll be the story of all four gates acting together. Is that something you can do for us? You mind doing that?
I can try. I can try. All right, gate 53. Again, it's off the root center. It's going up towards the sacral. And gate 53 is called beginnings. And It's really that first step. And, you know, I have to admit, for me, the middle channel and the end channel here can be a bit confusing because they're both about the gate 60 is also about starting out. But I guess the way I see the difference is that the gate 50 is more energy about getting the thing off the ground. And the gate 53 is more about taking that first step or the baby steps. I kind of see this channel, the 5342, as a bell curve. And so you've got to take those first running steps to get up that ramp, to get up to the top of the curve and over. Whereas, like I said, I see the gate 60 as just getting it off the ground. It's that momentum to get it off the ground, and it's a little bit of different flavor there. Reverend Rick, what would you add about the 53?
Like you, I think it's similar to gate 60, but I might be able to add a little bit of insight to differentiate the two here. Gate 60 is, you know, the one next to the 53 there coming off the root going up towards the sacral center. In the I Ching, that's known as the hexagram of limitation, the energy of limitation. And When we look at it from that perspective, this is an energy that is there in limited quantities in order to help initiate something. It's the spark. This is this is an energy that is literally the spark that creates the fire, but the spark is only there for the moment. And in that sense, that energy is really only, it's a pulse type of energy. It's there and it's gone. Hence the term, you know, the usage of the term limitation. It's a limited energy for limited periods of time. Whereas gate 53, being part of the sensing circuit there, it's actually got more of a cyclical type of energy. This is all about beginning things, and then as they progress through to their middles and to their completions, it's about wanting to start something over again. It's always looking for the next thing to begin. So in other words, there's no limitation on this kind of energetic flow. This is really all about always looking for the next thing to get involved in. Does that make sense?
It does. And I appreciate how you pointed that out, that the middle channel is kind of explosive. It builds up, it happens, and it's gone. And this is more cyclical, that it's making those first few steps to get it going, and then it's looking to make the next few steps to get something else going or to get another iteration going.
Exactly, yep.
So if I were to pull these all together, and you have to understand they all happen at once, but if I were to slow down time, it's kind of like slow motion, then this is how I would see it. That the 57 has that awareness in the moment of the entire situation, whether that's a battle that's about to happen with Jackie Chan, or whether that's a discussion about where we should go for vacation with my son, a family discussion with my son. So that 57, it's got that intuition in the moment to moment as it's going along. And the one we were just talking about, the 53, has the energy to take those first steps. So whether that's, whether that's purely a comment in the conversation, whether that's a motion that Jackie Chan's going to take, a body position that he's going to take to set other things in motion, but take those first steps, then the 54 has that energy to move through it, to do the action, to get the thing started, so that the next thing is going to come around, but to start that action. And then the delivery is really the shock, whether that's a statement by my son in the conversation of the vacation. It's like, I don't think we should go on vacation because we don't have the money. Or I think we should go to we should go to Florida because we all need to get out of the cold, or whatever that is. But that, it just has that penetration. Or with Jackie Chan, it's potentially that first blow, or in the series put together, it's that subway car that he's on. He walks out the door and, five guys are on the floor holding their knee or leg or whatever.
Yep.
But that's sort of my vision of the cross of penetration slowed down in slow motion, because in most cases, the cross of penetration, it's just like wham. I mean, the classic story of this is, if you've heard my wife, the Reverend Nina, talk, her story, she was in corporate America. She was a manager of 35 people. My son was four or five, and she was putting up the Christmas stockings, and she had four Christmas stockings, and he asked her, why are you putting up four stockings? And she said, well, for your father and I and your sister and you. Who weren't you counting? And he looked at her and said, you, because you're never around, because she traveled a lot for work. And it was just, boom, there was that cross of penetration laying out, like, his view of the world. And there's no going back. It's just that shock is created, and then you deal with it. And to complete the story, for my wife, she became a stay-at-home mom and eventually launched her career in teaching people about intuition.
And, Peter, I think it's interesting to note as well that three of the gates in this cross, the 51, the 53, and the 54, are on energy centers that are known as motors, motorized energies. And the one that's not is the gate of intuition. And so, you know, penetration here can take on a whole new light there in terms of, you know, does it need to be a shocking kind of statement? No, not necessarily. It's an attention-getting penetration. It's a penetration that can come out of the blue, just like with what, you know, with your example just now of what Theron said to her. But it could also be, you know, a penetration of such an intuitive insight that the individual stating it isn't even aware of how intuitive it is, and it just catches people off guard who are listening to it. Meanwhile, the person who, you know, the person who has this cross and just makes the comment goes along, you know, goes along his merry way saying, well, I just had what I had to say, that's all. Didn't really think anything of it, just voiced it, shared it, released it, however you want to express it. And everyone else is left, to use the Jackie Chan example, everyone else is left holding an arm or a leg or a knee, you know, in the aftermath.
And it can, as you were saying, you know, it also can be just about cutting through the obscuration, cutting through the extraneous details. It's not necessarily that huge impact, like my story about my son and my wife, or that jarring impact, I guess I should say. It can be very subtle, but it's about, you know, it really boils down to, it's about getting to the point so we can move on.
Yep. And as I said at the beginning, you know, it may be an energy that's felt individually by the person, but it is shared globally around the world by everyone else, you know, in every other continent born in, you know, within that time period. And so this is an energy that, you know, you and I, Peter, were always saying we can't look at things in by themselves. We have to look at them in light of the whole chart, the whole, you know, the big picture kind of thing. And the same thing is true with this energy too. You know, penetration is there to help us all move forward, not just the one person. You know, that energy to begin, that energy to that driving force to move up the corporate ladder, to, you know, to excel or to move beyond where we are, that intuitive insight to know about potentially hazardous situations, you know, and the ability to shock ourselves or others out of those, you know, or into movement, I'll put it that way, shock things into movement. You know, it's not just about the one person. It's to help the entire planet, everyone around the world who has this energy. There's a reason for them to all have it. And it's so that this energy can help move the world, you know, the human collective forward. I'm struggling for some words right now because the idea that I wanted to portray just isn't coming through very, very clearly. I think I'm feeling the effects of Mercury retrograde. What do you think?
Could be. You know, in what you made me think of is, you know, we had the situation that happened in Japan with the tsunami. We had the Malaysian thing a few years ago, and a potential cross of penetration response to that would be maybe we should stop building so close to the ocean. You know, again, as you were saying, for the betterment of humankind, and, you know, because there's all sorts that you can look at, well, you know, and they have. You know, we can have better tsunami warnings. We can build protective walls along the vulnerable places. But the potential cross of penetration's reaction is, well, if you build far enough away from the ocean, then you're not going to be subject to subject to the tsunamis.
Yep. And you know
Reverend Rick, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you bring up another point, too, and that is that, you know, the innocence of the things that are said, I think that's partly the reason for the impact that they have. You know, because people with this cross are not trying to... They're not looking for impactful things to say. They're not looking to have an influence, in other words. Most of the time, this energy gets expressed simply because it comes out. Remember, two of these gates are unconscious type of, you know, unaware type of energy. They just innocently express themselves. And when we look at people that have this chart, I think... You know, it's important to understand many times, and you and I say this quite often as well, Peter, you know, we can't take things personally, because many times what these people say is not meant to be a personal attack of any kind. It's simply just an innocent expression, an innocent statement, an innocent choice of words that have an impact. Whether they intended to or not doesn't matter. You know, the energies themselves will find a way to express themselves in a way that is suitable for the impact they need. Does that make sense? Am I being clear on that one?
Yes, you are. Made sense to me, anyway. Made sense to me. So I thought we maybe just because there are four different iterations of this cross, just quickly going around the four gates. And so if you're looking at your chart and you are a cross of penetration, look at the personality column up on the left, and look at that black number next to the circle with the dot in it. That's the sun. And if you're looking at Jackie Chan's chart, for example, here on the blog post, it's gate 51. So with that energy leading the way, Jackie Chan's energy is going to lead with the shock. That's going to be more apparent for him. If you have the lead gate that's the 57, then your lead energy is going to be that intuition or that knowing. Reverend Rick, you want to take the 54?
If your lead gate is gate 54, then that means your primary energy or your primary energetic expression in this penetration is going to be the energy of ambition, wanting to move forward, wanting to progress. And I'm even going to throw in another little keyword in there, Peter. This is moving forward and improving your position so that you can help others. And I don't mean in an esoteric way. I mean help others in terms of, you know, your tribe, your small group that you associate with, your family, you know, your community, whatever it happens to be. But whatever that small group is that's meaningful to you, you want to improve. This is an energy that drives you to improve your own position so that you can help provide for their needs.
And how about the 53, Rick?
And moving into gate 53, this is the energy that, as you said before, it helps bring those beginning steps. It's the penetration of starting. Being the one to lead the way and start the process and say, this is what I'm doing now. This is where I'm being drawn to put my energies, you know, next. So here it is. I'm doing this. Who can help? Who can follow me here? Who can be a part of this process with me? Kind of thing. and I had something else, and it just completely went out of my brain, Peter. Sorry. I'm having a mental lapse day today, I think.
And so if I were to frame those, and again you really have to take in the whole chart, but I guess if I were to frame those, I look at Jackie Chan with a 51 and, you know, and his movies, for example, it's just kind of like, here they are, and they're put out there to get a reaction, you know, which is an element of that shock. And if I were to take somebody with the 54, again, this is cyclical energy. So again, the cross of penetration, lead gate of 54. In general, I would say that you may see a cycle in your life of wanting to move up, of doing something for a while, but then either coming back to it and getting another level of accreditation, or modifying it a little bit to do something else, or completely changing. You know, moving up, but sort of this drive to have change. As I was saying before, that ambition might not be such a lifelong term thing. Somebody with a 53, as Reverend Rick was saying, is getting things started. So your expression may be more about taking the first few steps, but then that's your impact and letting others take over. And then the 57, Reverend Rick, I'm going to ask you, because that mentally I was having a mental lapse trying to figure what might be the flavor of them with the 57 and intuition leading the way.
This is an interesting one, because that intuition, the penetrating part of the intuition, could be a penetration into one's own, you know, it could be an intuitive penetration into one's own being or into someone else. And you actually used the word earlier. You said that intuitive knowing, and this gate is part of that knowing circuit of energy. It is a knowingness that may not be able to be explained. And yet the connecting gate to it, or one of the connecting gates to it, is in the throat, which allows for verbal expression. So if somebody happens to have that gate 20, defined in their chart as well, that means that intuitive knowingness can actually get expressed. And so that penetrating, you know, whatever they say, will have a much more penetrating impact onto others, I think, more so than onto the self. But that is that, you know, therein lies that other aspect of penetration, which is not necessarily the shocking side of it. It's not necessarily getting attention because of surprise. It's more getting attention because of verbalizing something that others may think is hidden. You know, just laying it out there the way it is, kind of thing.
Yep. And I guess I sense, as you were saying before, that the other three gates are motorized, and this gate is not. And so my sense is the person with the 57 as their lead energy, with the incarnation cross of penetration, that they're potentially going to have more, if they're really living this out, they're going to have more of a stillness about them, because in a sense, as you were talking about those other gates being motorized, part of being able to hear that intuition is that ability to be in the moment. And I think to be in the moment, you sort of have to have some stillness, not necessarily lack of movement, but a stillness of clarity about the moment.
Yeah, I think what you're getting at, Peter, is more of a mental stillness. It's
yes.
Those periods of quietness in the brain or in the mind that allow that splenic energy of the body to be acknowledged. And because, you know, as we've said before, that splenic energy speaks very softly compared to the other energy centers, and it only speaks once in the moment. So we need to train ourselves and be aware enough to hear it, to listen to it. And too often, I think many of us ignore, you know, that energy as it gets expressed, and so we don't act in the moment when it's needed. Fortunately, there are follow-up moments that may give us a second and third opportunities to act accordingly. But the message is always going to be, you know, once they're in the moment, when the moment's gone, you got to wait for the next one. If it's that important, there'll be a next one.
Yes, definitely true. Anything else, Reverend Rick, you want to add about the cross of penetration or incarnation crosses in general?
This is only one of those weird moments where my mind just goes off in really weird directions, but I was just thinking, wouldn't it be so cool to have a convention where everyone was the same cross? Can you imagine what that would be like? All the attendees wear the same cross, the cross of penetration. What kind of interactions do you think there would be there?
It would be quite interesting. It certainly would.
Yeah, that's a bizarre mental activity, a mental exercise, I think. But anyway.
So when are you going to organize that?
I don't think I'd be able to. I'm the cross of demands. I'd have to demand somebody else take care of that.
Well, if I started it, would you?
I could help. I actually have the companion gate to 53. I've got the 42 finishing things. If somebody else starts it, I can help complete it.
All right. There you go. Well, do you have any events coming up this week or the next week?
I do, actually. Tomorrow from 1 to 2:30 Eastern Time, I am hosting my Human Design question and answer for anyone that has specific questions about their own chart. It's not an educational kind of thing. It's just, you know, if you've had a reading, or even if you haven't, you're just now getting involved in Human Design, it's an opportunity for you to come either with your chart or, you know, give me your birth data during the time frame, and I'll run your chart and try to help answer questions that way. You can get to the site where I'll be hosting all this through my website, RevRick, that's RevRick.webs.com. Just click on the link for Human Design, or along the menu of that website, there's one that says "What's New." Either one of those will take you there. So click on "What's New" and from either place, and it'll give you the link to Friday's question and answer or Friday's Human Design Q&A sessions. The link will be right there on the website, open to anybody who wants to show up. And like I said, from 1 to 2:30 Eastern Time tomorrow. Totally unstructured, completely unstructured. You know, it's just whoever wants to show up and whatever questions they have, that's what we'll be covering. Other than that, we have another wonderful show lined up for next week on Tuesday, also from 1 to 2:30 Eastern, and that is the Spiritual Help Desk. And I guess, shall we give a preview of it? All right. That show, Tuesday, April 12th, is we're going to be talking about the nature of acceptance. What is acceptance? What does it mean to accept? And one of our co-hosts, Asha, has a phrase that I just think is absolutely wonderful. She says radical acceptance. And so we're going to be talking with her a little bit more about what she means by that. So please, everyone, join us for that. Tuesday, 1 to 2:30 here on Blog Talk Radio. Actually, I guess it's 1 to 2, isn't it? But we'll probably end up going a little bit longer. Sorry, Peter.
not if Asha can have anything to do with it. But. She's our... She must have a defined spleen.
Yep, she
I'm
going to
have to look that up now. I'm going to have to look that up. Well, next week on Human Design on Air, if Reverend Rick is okay with continuing with this cross, next week at that time, the cross of the Maya is in. And so I thought we'd take a crack at the cross of the Maya. And
very interesting.
Talk about the,
I like that one.
Talk about those four gates.
Absolutely.
So I think that's all we have for today. So we hope you'll join us next week, and thank you for being here.
Thank you
thank
very
you,
much,
Reverend
everyone.
Rick.
Thank you very much, everyone, for being here, and we'll see you next time.
Till then.